welcome to a summer edition of the Westlife podcast. As always, we are sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. And as always, please give us a follow at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And if you can support the show at patreon.com/Westlife, even better. I've got the boys today. A lot's happened. Even off air, we couldn't keep our mouths shut because A, we miss footy, and B, we miss each other. So, boys, it's good to catch up with you guys and also have other people listening all the same. But, we'll keep a bit of golf talk off the show and talk footy for a bit. We're as much as the West Tigers kill us, I'm kind of missing the footy a little bit, as good as the American sports are at the moment. So to bring the boys back in from MG Pump Solutions, welcome back to Shane. How you going, buddy?
Hey, Josh, how are you, man? Yeah, I'm going good.
And our star ranter and, the man you all know as Rob Bishara. Rob Bishara, that was a terrible intro. God, I'm rusty, guys. Sorry. It's been a while.
We haven't done a show. It's definitely a summer edition.
My segue.
We're known as Rob Bishara.
I was trying to think of a smart-ass comment that I normally do. I'm just rusty. I can
do one, mate. I'm glad you remember my phone number. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. I actually don't even know my wife's phone number off by heart. Because you don't remember numbers anymore. I know my childhood landline number. I do not know my wife's number because I literally never have to type it in. So, already 2 minutes in, we're already off track. But we'll get into the footy. We thought we'd come on. We probably won't do another show for a few weeks at least, probably unless something major happens, but obviously the news today of Papalihi signing with the West Tigers dropped, and there's a few other things happening. There's always things happening, even if it's the off season. Boys, we got our man, 23, 24, 25. He'll come across. Parramatta probably won't bring him over early, but I'm still excited nonetheless. Shane, what are you looking forward to most with the big bopper coming over?
Oh, look, we all know, like, he's a young fella still. His best footy's in front of him. And he was second row of the year. Like, how can you complain with that? I just don't understand Parramatta's thinking. They've now gotten rid of, well, two of their back row, and they are free to let Madison go. So I think it's great for us. We can get one back on him a bit.
What are you saying? Bring back Ryan Madison?
No, yuck. No.
And Rob, we left the year on a pretty sour note after the Dogs win, and things were looking pretty pretty dire. Like the podcast, we sounded a bit depressed about the team as we were talking about them as the season started to come to a close. I mean, these signings, is there light at the end of the tunnel, do you think? Do you think we're starting to have a bit of hope for the future now?
News is, you know, still obviously very, very fresh. I'm super excited about it, and I'm just trying to think, like, it's so significant. It really is. I know everyone will say, well, geez, it's just the second row of it. We've got a guy who's 23. We're paying him 600 grand, apparently, according to reports, for 3 years, which is great money considering we were going to offer, Viliani Kikau 900,000 a year or something like that. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't want Kikau at all, and especially at that price. I thought it was too much. This guy, like Shane said, he's probably the most damaging edge back rower in the game, even though Parramatta kind of use him as a middle. So we've got options to use him as a middle or as an edge. Personally, I think he's just more damaging on the edge. He's a try scorer. He can offload. He does it all, but it's just like, wow, you know, hopefully this is just, you know, the dam wall starting to burst, and, you know, we can actually, like, to sign this sort of guy, if we can get another signing or two, you know, 2023 is looking really promising, and it gives the guys that are playing this coming season, coming up, you know, 2022, a lot of hope and a lot to play for, and I know they're getting a few more weapons into the team, so it's just really good to have an off season where we've had, you know, some positive news, you know, like Machine's coming back and Benji coming back to the club, and it's not an on-field role. There's just a lot of positivity. So that's really, really good to hear, and I just hope it's only the start of it.
Yeah, the big thing you said there, I said it in our group chat, was we're talking about it earlier this week, when the rumor started swirling that, yeah, it might be the first domino to fall. So I always thought that we just need that one. That's why the Brandon Smith thing kind of always appealed to me, because if we can get him, then we'll probably get others. So the fact that there's kind of that level where if the club, look at the Bulldogs, they kind of got one signing, and if they didn't get that those first signings, then maybe players might not have been enticed to go to the Bulldogs. Whereas the fact that they're saying,
Agreed.
okay, the club's on the way up, I will go sign
Yep.
with them. So the fact that we're getting a couple of good signings, we've got a little bit of young talent that should be, I mean, some of the guys in our team who are already up and coming stars and were shining lights this year. By 2023, I mean, they're going to be hitting their peak. So, I mean, as the time goes on, I think our 2023 signings, this might hopefully won't be the last big signing that we get, because players will start to say, "Whoa, he's going. I want to, yeah, get on a team that's on the rise." And fingers crossed, it's the Parramatta Eels are on the decline, because fuck those guys. I can't stand that club. So it's good to get one back on them. They took Maddo, they took Moses. So yeah, have fun with those
It's
guys.
crazy that they lost him. It's absolutely crazy. I mean,
Yeah.
they've obviously got some cap pressures there, and they've got, like the talks about trying to keep Gutho on close to $1 million a year, and Moses has probably agreed to, a lot of big money there. So they've spent a lot of money on backs. But as Shane said, like second row of the year, he's 23. Like even when we got Gareth Ellis, who's probably our best signing in a dozen years, I mean, even Gareth Ellis wasn't that young when we got him. We probably got him, 25, 26. So it's really surreal. It's just
Yeah,
so
it's
good.
yeah,
It's so
pinch me
good.
in my
It's such a good
dreaming.
signing. The money's right. Everything's right about it. It's just a great signing. And I'm not used to our club doing this. So I'm just over the moon.
You
Absolutely.
know what I'm calling it?
What are you calling it?
The Tim Sheens effect.
Ooh, it only
Yeah,
took 2 weeks.
well, I read an article that they reckon Maguire's had a lot to do with this. So I think, we should give Maguire credit. But definitely, obviously, Tim Sheens being there has helped. But, congratulations to all of them. Like they've done something right. And then, you know what? They didn't go out and publicise it, say, like, we've almost got Papali'i, like how this Hodgson stuff's dragging around. Where this Papali'i thing, like we had a little bit of a rumor about it, but it wasn't like we went out there and said, we've got him, it's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. We just waited for it to happen, and it's happened, and it's
But
beautiful.
even that's the funny thing, even with the Hodgson thing, like we actually haven't heard Lee mention it,
Exactly.
which is weird. Like, but
Might be
you
on
know,
holidays.
and as I said, it's the Sheens effect. He's literally told everyone, shut your fucking mouth, stop talking, because this is what's killing us. He's now, I guarantee you, Sheens is in negotiations. He's the one talking to the players, and he's the one doing the deals. I'll put money on it that he's doing it. And now he's showing other people how to do it. And
Well, he's not
I
taking the credit
reckon,
for it. He's not taking the credit for it officially, but I
just
agree with you. He's
no way
probably
he
not going
would.
to do it.
He's the silent man. He just sits there. He's the one in the background who's saying, you need to shut up and stop talking to people. Or you know what? If you want to have an interview, this is what you say.
Is he our
And
version
that's
of
it.
Gus Gould? Is it kind of a similar thing, do you reckon?
I think so. I mean, no offense to Tim, he's not on the Gus Gould level, but
No, well, he's probably the
it's
best.
as good as we could get, as good as we can get. And he's obviously got an association with our club and
Yep.
our only premiership winning coach. So, he's familiar with the territory. And like we've said many times, I think our front office needs a lot of help. And I know from having spoken to Lee, like it seems like they were leaning on Tim quite a bit 2 or 3 months ago, before he arrived back in Australia. So, credit to them. They've got the right guy, and this is hopefully, like you said, the first domino, and the rest of them will fall real soon. And hopefully some encouraging signs on the field in 2022 will just add a few more people to us.
Well, off the field, Sheensy has. Well, we assume this is a bit of a Sheens effect as well. Benji Marshall is coming back to the club. This one came really out of the blue. Like, no one saw this coming. It literally, the club dropped it, and there wasn't a single. I literally was watching Channel 9 News, and they said, up next, club legend returns to the Tigers. And it was like highlights of Benji. I'm like, oh, this can't be legit. He must be like. You must be going to work with the Entrance Tigers or something. Like, it's a clickbait headline. And then, sure enough, the club dropped the bombshell that Benji's coming back to work with the club. And so he'll be doing the corporate stuff and working with our juniors coming through, which is pretty good. I think a good thing with him being part of that junior system is it might be the difference between getting a star like his Suwali sort of types, like these young stars. They might come to us because they want to work with Benji, because this generation grew up loving Benji, even though us older boys did as well. But these kids basically were pretending to be Benji playing in the park. So maybe it, be appealing to come across to us, and it might lead to, getting superstars and might otherwise not come to the club. But, boy, Shane, how do you feel about King Benji coming back to the club?
Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't expect it. And this goes back to what I was saying just then. Like, it's weird that we had no whisper of it. It's just there is that many leaks in our club that I think have been found out due to, obviously, what we heard about the inquiry into Madge. I think they found a lot of the leaks, and it's been great because that shocked me. I was watching the news too, and I saw Benji pop up. I'm like, bullshit. This is not going to happen. They announced it, and then straight away Tigers announced it. I was like, wow. It shocked me because it was the first time that something hadn't come out. Oh, Benji's going back to Tigers, and then bang. It's like you heard it on Nine News. And you're sitting there going, what? Like, just confusion. So, look, I hope it keeps going. I hope we get shocks and surprises. It'll be nice.
Rob, now I've got Benji as well as your sparring partner, mate, Robbie Farrer, at the club. Do you think having these legends around the club is good for the culture of the club?
Oh, definitely. They're so synonymous with our club. They're probably the two biggest names in our club's history, premiership winners. I think the best part, for me, is it just shows how much they both love the club, because they both got mistreated by the club, in Benji's case twice. It's funny, I know what you were just saying there, Shane, you'd never heard of anything before, but actually Lee said something a couple of weeks earlier. It came out in a newspaper interview that he'd like to get Benji back to the club as soon as he announced his retirement. And I thought to myself, what a load of shit. Like, after the falling out last year, there's no way he's coming back. Like, I thought he'd come back in maybe a couple of years.
I did hear that newspaper article.
I didn't think he'd come back straight away. So I was absolutely over the moon. And good on Benji. Like, it just shows, he's going to get financially compensated for it. But, I think the Sheens factor is probably a big thing there, because he's really going to be working with, Sheens is the boss of football, and he'll be working with Sheens. And, with all due respect to Madge, as much as I love him, I don't think, their relationship's that great. But that'll get mended over time.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great move.
Pre-season training started today. It started for a couple of weeks ago for the junior players. So all the senior players started today. So we saw Luke Brooks, the club made sure to post a photo of him in our training gear. He's still a West Tiger. For now, boys, is there anything you've heard? The Luke Brooks thing, I mean, there's 1,000 different rumours. He's staying, he's going. What's the latest you've heard on that? I'm sick of hearing about it, to be honest. But
I'm just copying the same stuff everyone else is copying. Obviously, Andrew Johns wants him. We all know that. He literally has said it on the news. He said it. I want to work with Brooks. And I'll be 100% honest. Like, I want Brooks to go, and I want him to play good. Everyone else will be like, I don't want him to play good. Stuff him. He didn't play good for us. You know what? I want him to have a good career. I want him to kill it. I want him to play finals. But it's like, it just doesn't work with us. There's too much pressure. I don't know what it is, but he just doesn't work with the Tigers. So I think it'll be best for both parties to do it. We keep hearing that it's not happening, but we keep hearing rumours that Knights want him. So whether they're putting it out there to get interest from the Tigers to go, you know what, maybe here you go, pay Brooks his full contract and have him.
Yeah. Yeah, if they can take his full contract, that's a big thing for me is the money. It's if we're still paying him, I don't want to do what we did with Robbie Farah. We paid Robbie Farah $700,000 to play at a different club. Like, it's just not smart. Not smart. And I'm sure you agree with that, Rob.
Yeah, well, I've heard, from some inside sources that, you know, he was free to go wherever he wanted, but we weren't pushing him out. The latest I heard, I actually heard a Mitchell Pearce interview, because he's obviously signed up to go to France. And the surprising thing was Mitchell Pearce was endorsing Luke Brooks going to Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tim Sheens has said he's staying. Luke Brooks has said he's staying. Yet they're still talking like they're going to get him. So I'm really confused. It could, like you said, Josh, it could be coming down to just the contract money, which we'll get onto Josh Hodgson as well, but that seems to be the sticking point there in terms of how much Canberra want to pay for his contract. So maybe that's got something to do with it. I'm with Shane in the sense that, you know, if he left, I wasn't going to lose any sleep over it. The fact that Adam Dwayne's not going to be back till mid-season, and we've got a new halfback in Jackson Hastings, and, you know, we've had a kid that's only had basically three games in first grade as our other backup. I kind of don't mind him being there, but is he the answer to winning a premiership or something like that? You know, after 8 or 9 years of being at the club, I've got to say no.
Yep.
But there's just something about him, and I'm sure Shane would agree, and I know you definitely agree, Josh, we just want him to succeed. But, you know, he's just, at the end of the day, he's not a game manager.
Yeah.
So if there's someone there that'll take the responsibility of running the show like Jackson Hastings, and by all reports from Shane and other people we've spoken to that have watched a lot of, you know, British Rugby League, you know, Jackson Hastings can do that sort of job, and maybe, you know, Brooksy will play 5-8 this year and Jackson Hastings will be 7. So, and that could work. I don't know, but let's just see how it pans out. Let's get to February, March and see if he's still with us. But, gee, the Knights are making some noise about getting him.
Yeah, the AD injury might be the you'd have to wonder, if AD doesn't go down, does the club basically changed its mind? Like, were they basically ready to push him out, and then AD went down, they're like, oh shit, like maybe we keep him for another year or something.
Probably what's happened.
Yeah.
I think that's the only option that sort of happened. I reckon they were getting ready to get him to move off, and then the knee happened and all plans went out the window.
Yeah.
Unless the Peachy signing has meant that Peachy will play in the halves with Hastings. I don't know about that, but
I think Peachy's a 14 in my opinion, but
100%.
We'll get on to Peachy.
I'll say the same.
Peachy was at training today. He looked good in the colours. How do you think we'll use him, Shane?
I think he's a super sub. I mentioned it in our chat before. I really do think, like, he can play anywhere in the back line. He can play lock. He can play hooker. Like, the dude is so versatile that I can't believe Titans didn't offer him a contract. Like, $300,000. Like, that's just, I don't get it. How he played for him last year was incredible. Great asset for us. Like,
is that all we're paying, $300,000?
Yeah, I think it was like 350 grand, something like that. I could be wrong, but something in my head seems to sit around that. Like, I think it's maybe 350, something around that.
Yeah, okay.
But we're not paying heaps for him, not at all.
Yeah.
And for how he played last year, I think he's worth probably more than that to a team, especially when our last super sub, supposedly super sub in quotations, was Mbai. And I know who I'd rather have every day of the week.
Yeah.
I'd have Peachy.
He definitely makes more of an impact than Mbai. Rob, what are your thoughts on Peachy and how do you think we'll use him next year?
Look, he'll probably, like Shane said, he'll probably be the super sub. And, you know, he literally can play every position. You know, he's probably played every position in the back line except wing, and he's probably played in the forwards everywhere except prop. So he's literally played hooker, he's played second row, lock in the halves, he's played centre. He's even, I think, you know, filled in a fullback occasionally. So he can do it all. I just think with Brooksy and Hastings the way they are, I'd like to see him as a 13, because most of the 13s are ball playing. I mean, he's not a big guy or anything like that, but he could do a role at 13 for us.
Yeah,
and just having that extra ball player there would be nice. And he plays sort of our style of footy, when, you know, like the traditional West Tigers, exciting footy, eyes up footy. You know, has an offload in him, can, you know, has a kicking game. So I think it's a good signing. I really do. But that said, there wasn't much to choose from. And really, like,
he was a good signing at the time. There was literally no one out there, and he's not a game breaker. Like, he's, when I say game breaker, he's not going to like change a whole team and like all of a sudden you're a premiership force or anything like that. But I just think, you know, you get the best out of Peachy and you've got a top player.
Yep.
So it was a good signing for me.
Another guy, a guy who I'm starting to get more and more excited as the season approaches, but probably the number one guy I'm looking forward to, and I'm sure other West Tigers fans are pretty much agree with me here, Jackson Hastings. Seeing him in the colours, like, I'm starting to really, and just hearing all the reports of just like, and just he, it's stupid to run things based off social media and non-football things, but he just seems like he's just hungry to succeed, and I just feel like his attitude and his energy is going to do wonders for the club. And like, basically, when he went over to the Super League, he became an absolute leader on the field. I didn't watch much of his footage, but from what, well, Shane, you watched a fair bit of him over there, and it just looks like he's like, come on boys, like, come with me sort of player. So is that accurate to say, Shane?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, like, I'd love to see him, maybe not next year. We seem to do it anyway when someone comes to the club, give him captaincy. But but look, I'll be honest, I'd like to see him in that role, because I think he thrives off it. He thrives off that, being that leader now. Just like the way he talks, the way he presents himself on social media, in interviews. Yeah, like, I'm super keen for him. I was keen last year. A lot of people were umming and ahhing. Like, just his leadership qualities, his organisation, some of the tries that he's assisted, like, it's just next level. Like, he did one where he just literally kicked from probably about their 40 into the left corner, and Bevan French just was on the legs and caught it and scored a try. And it was just like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Little things like that where he can see that. And if he gets the boys working around that sort of, okay, guys, like, look, this is what the play we're going to do. Bang, go for it, and it works. That's what we need. We need someone to organise. We need someone to put plays out there, whereas, like, Brooksy at the moment, he just doesn't cut the mustard for us. I think Jackson, I think he will.
Rob, do you think he's a lock for a halves jersey straight up?
I'd like to give him a go at halfback first up, to be brutally honest, but he could probably fill either role. I'm not sold in terms of what he's going to do on the field, but like Shane said, if everything you see on social media about him and how he's turned his life around and he's gone from being an outcast at, you know, two different clubs to being one of the most loved players in England, and he's just the sort of guy you want at your club as a person. So we've signed a good person for starters. Whether he can make it back at NRL level, because obviously it's a different, you know, it's a big level up, big step up, that's another question, but I'm sure he can do it. And now I will put the work in, and he's got some good coaches there, and he'll have the intensity to do it. So I'm backing him to make it. But that said, I mean, you know, you've just got to have a few little question marks about it, but I think he's a positive signing. So, I mean, you know, we've had other guys come back from England that were, you know, they've come back and they've made a good, you know, career out of things. Like Corey Thompson turned it around, and he'd been in England for a few years. So yeah, you can come back from there and succeed. So, you know, everyone's on his side. He's already one of the most loved players in our club. He hasn't played a game for us. So, you know, I hope he'll be a success. And he's very versatile as well. And he'll give it his all. So you can't ask for much more than that.
So fellow Pom, sorry, he's not a Pom, fellow former English Super League convert, Oliver Gildart, chain. So I have no idea what to expect from this guy. You kept your eye on him a bit more. Do you think is he going to be basically straight into the centres for us?
I think he will. We don't really have very good options in centres, and we proved that last year. To be honest, I reckon our best player at centre was Dewey last year, and as bad as it sounds, followed by Kepoa. When he played centre, he played good, and then he blew his knee out, literally that game, and it pissed me off because he was playing his best game I've ever seen him play. Other than that, we've had James Roberts, BJ Leilua, Junior Ponga, Tommy Taliao.
Moses Mbai.
Moses Mbai. So there's five, and Oliver Gildart is better than those five. He definitely is. He's coming back from a knee injury last year. He had a knee injury, I think it was end of last year. So he missed the international. Oh, no, there wasn't any, was there? Last year, COVID. Yeah, so he didn't do any international stuff. And then this year he came back later through the season. And he was sort of he was finding his feet, did a few good plays. He's pretty quick. He's still got some speed. And he's pretty deceptively powerful. Like, he's very strong for his frame. You look at him, he doesn't look like he's that muscly and a bit wiry, but he's very strong. So I think that's what it is. Like, he just runs through people when he's on. But I will admit, watching last year, especially the end of the season, he was struggling a little bit. Not struggling, he was a bit conservative. So I want to sort of see him get back to how he was playing a couple of years ago. And look, if you can do that, he's definitely a walk-up starter.
So, Rob, we'll move on to some off-field changes. So Adam Hartigan was sent packing. What are your thoughts on the coaching changes?
I'm happy with who we've put into the assistant coaching role. So we've got Nathan Kalis. And we've got Ben Gardner. And, you know, from what we saw from the West Magpies last year, I thought the style of footy that the Magpies were playing was really attractive. And it was a good brand of footy, good tough defence, spread the ball a fair bit. So if we can get that sort of attack going with our first mates, then I'll be happy with that. I hear good things about Kalis, but I don't know much about him, but I did listen to his interview, so that all sounded really positive. The Hartigan sacking was a bit of a surprise when you consider that Hartigan and Pascoe were the ones leading the investigation into the, you know, we call it a madge hunt, which it really was, as to what went wrong for 2021. But as I said to you previously, like, I heard some things about, you know, he wasn't returning phone calls and, you know, people were disgruntled, players were disgruntled, player agents were unhappy. But in terms of what he did in fixing up our salary cap, I thought he did nothing wrong. I mean, I just, like I said, I expected a few years of misery and having a young squad. And, you know, you look at 2021, we had six guys make their NRL debuts. We had seven blokes make their club debuts and a few of those that hardly played NRL as well. To expect us to make finals with that sort of roster was just, I think it was pretty ridiculous, to be honest. But, you know, the West Tigers were looking for a scapegoat and they got one. But the good news, Josh, is I just think we turned it around really quickly because we had a positive thing with Sheensy arriving. You know, we've had the Brett Camorley talk. We had the two assistant coaches come on. We had the Benji Marshall thing happen. We've now had Isaiah Papali'i sign. So, you know, we've gone from just like a black 5 or 6 weeks to just a really good 3 or 4 weeks. So there's just a lot of positivity around now. So I just hope it's all you know, moving on up from here instead of all the negative stuff. It's been a good little month or so for us.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know, at the start of the year, when Shannon and I did the opening preview, we were going on about how good the vibes were around the club and we were pretty confident heading into it. But it feels like, no, this time we really feel like, look, to be honest, 2022, I think we're going to, it's going to be a trial and error sort of year, but 2023 is starting to, I'm starting to feel...
23 is looking good. 22, yeah. Look, we're going to have hope. We've got to have hope for next year, but, like, you've just got to be realistic. I don't think our expectations should be high, but, you know, like, sometimes you do your best when you have, you know, you're not expected to do anything, and I'm certainly not expecting our team to do anything in terms of the roster changes and stuff like that. But you never know. Like, we've got new coaches. I think Madge will be rejuvenated again. He'll know he's sort of on his last legs and he's got to do something. And a few of the players know how much the club wants success by, you know, the witch hunt that went on a few months ago. So you never know. Like I said, I'm not expecting anything, but at least there's some hope now. And you know, without hope, you've got nothing. So, yeah, hopefully we can, you know, get off to a good start and see how we go.
Well, one thing that will help getting off to a good start is the 2022 draw. So that was released last week, I think. I forget what day it is, to be honest, lately. But, so the draw's out. I've made a few notes, and I quite like the draw. Have you boys looked at the draw, had a good study of it?
It was a great draw. Yeah. It was as good a draw as we could hope for.
Absolutely. Shane, have you seen much of the draw? Are you a nerd like me that basically clicks the link as soon as it drops every year?
Yeah, look, I looked at it, but I don't really ever study them. I just look to see who we're playing once. And we seem to play most of the top teams only once.
Yeah, well,
which is weird.
That's
which
my first note.
Like Panthers once.
Yep.
That was weird to me because that to me is now the biggest rivalry.
Yeah, it's in terms of a marketing
it's the rivalry
thing,
in the West. Like stuff Para and Bulldogs stuff that like it's now West and Panthers. Like that is the battle of the West now.
Yeah. We don't play in Penrith next year. It's crazy. We also don't play in Canberra next year. And we only play the Chooks once,
and we play them last.
And we don't play we don't play in Melbourne either. So
it's weird. Like it tripped me out. Like,
and I think we've got one. Josh, you might have it there, but I think there's one or two games around Origin that kind of suit us as well from memory. I just can't think of.
We have the Panthers after Origin, so they could well see. So it's the Sunday after the Wednesday. I'll get to that. But, that's in my notes as well. But yeah, so Storm, Roosters, Panthers once. The others that we only play once, Canberra. So we only play in Canberra. There's no game in Canberra, which is hallelujah, because that's never fun for.
Seem to go good.
Yeah, well, in the Benji era, we were pretty good. But the last few years playing in Canberra has just been a nightmare. Titans and Broncos are the other ones that we only play once. Yeah, I mean, the Titans will be a pretty decent team, so it's not really like, oh, I wish we could play the Titans twice anymore. The Broncos, I don't know how good they're going to be, but, I mean, if we're going to play Sydney teams, I prefer to play Sydney teams twice, like you said, Mark, from a fan point of view. So, so basically, teams like the Warriors, what do you guys think will be the weaker teams? Like the Warriors, Dragons, Cowboys next year probably won't be great. Like, would you agree they're probably the weaker teams of the comp at the moment?
Yeah, I'd say would be just that little next tier up from them, I think.
Yeah. So that's six games right there. That's six games I'll expect to win next year. So even the Sharks, do you guys think the Sharks are going to be anything special next year?
The Sharks have bought well. I've got us Dragons and I think the Cowboys will get the spoon, but I think us Dragons and the Cowboys are probably the bottom three, as much as everyone would hate me to say that about our team. But
just on
paper, that's how I look at it. Because like Canterbury finished nowhere; they've improved their roster, although they still need probably a proper hooker and a halfback. And Adam Reynolds from South went to Brisbane, so that'll help them a little bit. So. You know, I don't think we've made too much in terms of change for next year, so we'll just see how we go. But I'm not crazy on the Cowboys team, to be honest.
Yeah. So fun stat: half our games next year on a Sunday, arvo.
Fantastic.
Either 2 or 4 o'clock. 8 on a Saturday, 1 Thursday, 2 Fridays, and a Monday. Obviously, that's Easter Monday. So I always, one reason I like to look at the draw is being married to a teacher, I always look at what games are in the school holidays to book a holiday around. The Warriors is on the last weekend of the term two, after term two, there's New South Wales school holidays. So if you're looking to have a trip to New Zealand mid-year next year, seeing as we can, I haven't been on a plane in 2 years. I can't wait to go on holidays again. But, go to New Zealand.
So you're going to New Zealand, yeah?
No, I couldn't convince the wife. So if someone have fun, the young bloke will only be 18 months old then. So, but if someone wants to go and have fun with their families on their behalf, let me know. Auckland and Brisbane are the grounds I haven't seen us play. Not including Belmore. I haven't seen Belmore either. So I've always wanted to see the Tigers play in Auckland, but at the moment, look, I'm working on it, but we're playing up the Gold Coast, Townsville and Suncorp twice because we are playing the Cowboys. We're the last game of Magic Round. Kelly, my friend, made a good point on Twitter, being the last game of Magic Round in terms of the field. Are you guys worried about that at all? It seems to hold up okay most years, but is that a factor, Shane?
Look, I think when COVID was on and they had those three little bubbles, what was it? It was Suncorp, Paris Stadium, or Combank Stadium now, and Campbelltown. I think it took like a good month of footy on those stadiums to really start tearing the surface up and starting seeing, like, actually seeing some damage.
Yeah.
Suncorp's looked after very well, so I guarantee you it's probably the best footy field in, like, look, like, presentation-wise in Australia. So I can imagine they've got guys every day will just be back on, filling divots, fixing the grass, making sure it's all compact and it's all good again, okay, ready for the next day. So I don't think there'll be any worries.
Yeah. But the Cowboys, yeah, it's we're Sunday night, which makes it a little bit hard if you're travelling up. You'd have to stay the Sunday night and come home Monday, and it's not school holidays. If you want to take the family, that's my life now. It's basically, everything's based around school holidays. But in terms of home ground, so again, it's 4 at CommBank, as Shane just said. It's no longer Bank West, so unlucky for those who like to call it Wankfest. It's now CommBank. See, well, I suppose, well, you can actually turn that to a sexual joke, can't you? CommBank. I'll let everyone join the dots there. Three for Leichhardt, 3 for Campbelltown. Boys, the 4-3-3, plus obviously Tamworth, and it's annoying that there must be a financial reason why we keep having a home game at the Magic Round. Tamworth, yeah, fair enough. I went to the first Tamworth game. It's a good little trip if you want to, get out of Sydney and see the country for a bit. But are you guys happy with the 4-3-3 ratio? Rob, you're obviously Leichhardt Oval through your veins. Do you think it's a good balance?
I'm not sure we're getting paid to play at CommBank, but obviously the financial incentives are great. You know me, I'd like to see all the games between Campbelltown and Leichhardt for our home games. So, you know, it is what it is. We've been putting up with it for so many years now. Another few years won't hurt, although, you know, we'll get onto it later, I guess. But there is talk of having a stadium out in the southwest.
Yep. What have you heard about that?
Might end up, well, I've heard that, you know, there's a chance of either Campbelltown being redeveloped or something at Rossmore, or perhaps using Canterbury's turf at Liverpool and sharing ownership with them, or, you know, sharing the home ground, even though it's their ground, we'd be renting. But the breakup that they want to do is have 10 games there at the new stadium and 2 games at Leichhardt, which will upset a few Leichhardt fans. But
so no Campbelltown?
Well, wherever our home ground is, like the new home ground would be, we'd get 10 games there, whether it's Campbelltown, whether it's Rossmore, whether it's Liverpool. Okay. They'll have 10 games at the one ground and 2 at Leichhardt. But, you know, people get upset about it. But you look at this year, there's only 3 games at Leichhardt. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not...
And there's only one Sunday.
And the other thing, too, is our latest premier has said that there's going to be no redevelopment of Leichhardt Oval. So, you know, and if you get, they're spending $500 million between Penrith and Manly. So, you know, who knows? I mean, look, I don't think Leichhardt needs redevelopment anyway. I think we just need some bloody new toilets there. So,
yeah.
Everything else is fine. I love the ground. So it just needs a little bit of an upgrade. That's all. Doesn't need too much.
A bit of a revamp.
Yeah, just did a bit of a revamp so you can go to the bathroom for God's sake.
He's a Tigers fan too, old Perrottet.
He is.
So,
yeah, that's quite surprising.
Yeah. You could almost have it. He's almost got a kid for every seat in the stadium as well, just quietly. But
we need some crowd numbers up. So
yeah, yeah, more Tigers members. So keep popping them out, yeah. Old Perrottet. Yeah, so the ratio, yeah, obviously the Leichhardt thing, the reason the club says basically if they don't get close to a sellout, they make a loss on it. I love Leichhardt games as well, but I think the three of us are all Balmain background. I think we all agree that Campbelltown needs to get more love. We need to 100%. Put an imprint.
We need to base everything as much as we can out there, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a huge, huge growing population. We've got to get every kid a West Tigers footy out in that region. So so the opposition teams is very interesting for the ground. So Leichhardt has... This annoys me that it's a 6 p.m. Friday. So we're playing the Bulldogs, and the Bulldogs haven't played at Leichhardt since 1998, which is crazy to think. But they've never played West Tigers at Leichhardt. We've always played them at ANZ. We played them at Campbelltown a few times, but it's usually ANZ or Bank West or Combank. So that'll be interesting. It's just 6 p.m. Friday, trying to get to Leichhardt Oval at 6 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. Man, it's just... I hate that time.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I get it. It's a TV thing.
It is a TV thing. It's all about money.
Yeah, it should be the Warriors. At least the Warriors, like in New Zealand, it's 7:30 for them. But, man, Tigers versus Dogs at 6 p.m. on a Friday. It's... I'm looking forward to it. I'll still try and do my best to get to it. But, yeah, hopefully, if both teams are going all right, maybe they can get close to a sellout. But, man, if you...
I think they will. Canterbury, I mean, it's not far from Canterbury. And Canterbury fans will go to games. They're pretty parochial. So,
yeah, and they got something to cheer
about. I think we'll get a good crowd out there.
Yeah. But, and then round 17, we're playing the Eels at Leichhardt. So I think this is a great... This is going to be fantastic. This could be the game I'm most looking forward to this year. So rather than playing them at Para, which was just crazy, playing a home game against Para and Para, it's a Saturday night. Sunday Ivo would have been better, but a Saturday night, I think this has to sell out. Like, unless we're really playing shit, I think this is going to sell out a month before the game. I think it's going to be huge. I mean, we've had 40,000 against them at ANZ, albeit with the Easter show next door, but two huge fan bases, two teams that really hate each other. Man, this is going to be cool.
Do we know why we've lost the Easter game, Josh?
Oh, no, we're playing the Easter.
I'm saying, why wouldn't we play the Eels at... we are playing them.
We are. It's their home game.
It's their home game.
Yeah, right. So that's at Bank West. And, yeah, it's their home game. Right. Our home game against them is at Leichhardt, which is awesome. I can't wait. Okay. That's, circled in my diary.
That'll be sold out.
Yeah, so... get a membership or a ticket as soon as they go on sale. The other game at Leichhardt is the last round, Sunday afternoon. So the only Sunday arvo at Leichhardt is against the Raiders. And, boys, does that give you a little PTSD when you hear about Raiders last round at Leichhardt on a Sunday arvo?
Redemption.
Okay. I like a positive.
I'd like another shot at making the finals and winning that game.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'd be hilarious if it gets down... to win and we're in again and it's against them. At least hopefully we'll have Hodgson on our side. I doubt BJ Leilua will be on the other side. So, maybe the Raiders aren't quite as scary as they once were. So we'll see what happens. But on to the other grounds. So Campbelltown has round 3 against the Warriors. Again, at 6 p.m. Friday again.
That's a tough one.
Getting the camera.
Tough one for me. One for me with the M5.
Tough one for anyone in Sydney. Like getting Friday 6 p.m. If anyone's ever done the M5 in peak hour, good luck. Like this is,
even the M7 coming from my way. M7, if you jump on the M7, everyone goes that way.
Yeah.
It's deadly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get in the M7 every afternoon as well, but I'm lucky I go from M7 to M4 and get out of the traffic. I can see the traffic. I luckily get off it. But the traffic heading towards Campbelltown back there from Eastern Creek is just like shit house. So,
that's it. Pretty much Horsley Drive back is just shit. Even up to Elizabeth Drive. You just sit there and crawl along.
So, I don't know how. That's the weekend I can't remember if I said it on the show. I definitely said it on social media. I got a family, in-laws' wedding that weekend, and I was praying that it wouldn't be a Saturday night. So I can't be too critical of it being on a Friday because at least I wouldn't have to sit in the corner on my phone at the wedding watching the game if it was on a Saturday night. So the other games at Campbelltown, round 14, Sunday afternoon against Manly. So making Manly drive... all the way.
These are good for us, aren't they, Josh? Yeah. We've made New Zealand travel as far as they can. After they get here, they've got to get to Campbelltown and then Manly from Brookvale. So, we're certainly making it harder on the opposition. So, this is a good thing.
This game
and
also,
their fans don't travel too, which is good.
Yeah, they don't go past the spit, let alone up the M5. So, hopefully not many Manly fans making their way out to that. It's also after the first Origin. So Tommy Turbo,
resting Turbo.
You always like having a go at his hamstring, Shane. Is he going to play straight after Origin 1 for the Manly?
No chance.
So,
to be honest, they probably will try. But he'll get rested halfway through the game if that happens.
Yeah, hopefully not. Because
the problem is... He'll beat us 40-0 in the first half and we're cooked.
And then sit in. So, people always say to me, wouldn't you rather beat him full strength? No. We need whatever. I want the 2 points. I don't care how we get it. We beat the Panthers last year, missing 8 people, still loved it. We need 2 points however we can get it. And there's been times where we've been on the other end of injury, luck and that sort of thing that's cost us losses. Okay, give me 2 points. I don't care. Shove your moral victories. I just want 2 points. So Campbelltown's other game is a Sunday afternoon, round 21 against the Knights. So, again, big drive for the
Beautiful.
Knights. Yeah, making the
Beautiful.
Knights drive all the way to Campbelltown. I mean, if you're driving from Newcastle, whether you go to Parramatta, I guess Campbelltown's another, half hour on your drive each way. So, Newcastle.
Probably more now.
Yeah, it depends. It's a Sunday, 4 p.m. on a bus. It's probably a little bit extra. So I don't think it makes that
you
much
think
difference.
You think from mine to Campbelltown is almost 45, 50 minutes.
And you're not far from Para, so...
I'm in Quakers Hill.
Yeah, so... You're going to get stalkers now. You can't say your address on the... You're going to have stalkers out
there. Quakers Hill's a big suburb.
Yeah, but you're a big man.
And you know what?
It's not hard to find you.
Where I live, good luck finding me. You will not find me. I'm in a rabbit warren.
and if you jump your fence, good luck getting out alive, anyone who tries. I already said Tamworth around 22. We're playing the Sharks, as we were meant to last year. So CommBank, formerly Bank West, as I said earlier. We're playing there 6 times next year. So as I said earlier, when Rob mentioned it, Easter is an away game. We've also got an away game against the Dogs there. So round 1, straight up, we're playing the Melbourne Storm Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. And apparently they'll be without, I believe, Harry Grant and Munster. Is that right? They're both... suspensions or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so again, a little, the football gods shining down on us. So, who knows? I mean, we're still, Sportsbet already have a market. We're $3.50 to win that. But if you think back to when we played the Storm last year, we were $15 to beat them. So, do the math, we're improving. We're $3.20, down to $3.20. Underdogs now against the Storm. So, who knows? Round 1. Actually, the Storm haven't lost round 1. What's the stat? It's something like 18 years or something. They haven't lost round 1. So,
so they're due.
Yeah, they're due. Exactly. Yeah.
And no Nicho Hynes, no Josh Adokar. There's a few, Finucane. So, there's a few guys that have moved on as well. So, you never know. We might have a chance.
Yep. So, fingers crossed. Who knows? So after Easter, the week after Easter, Monday, we play the Rabbits at Bankwest at home. We play the Dogs away there, as I said, around 15 on a Sunday arvo. I was keen for Belmore last year. As I said earlier, I really wanted to play the Dogs at Belmore, but Bankwest. What I hate, just to add a little bit of a rant within a rant sort of thing, when we used to play at ANZ Stadium, I used to love with a membership. You get into Rabbitohs, Dogs, and Eels. Those 3 away games at ANZ Stadium were part of your membership. So we've gone from having... We literally used to have 12 home games plus 3 away games. You've got 15 games for your membership. You only get 10 now. So it's kind of shit. And membership prices have gone up. So, not to have... it's not really the club's fault too much, the reciprocal thing, but it's just annoying that we literally used to be able to get I had a general admission season pass, and I think it was $120, and it got you 15 games. It was less than $10 a game or something, and now it's way more, and you only get 10. So That's my rant within a rant, but it's just been a tight ass maybe. But round 18, we play the Panthers Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. This is straight after Origin 3, as I said earlier. Even if they rest guys, man, if CommBank's ever going to get a sellout from us, Panthers, that rivalry, as you mentioned earlier, Shane, this should be a pretty big crowd, you'd think.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be one of our biggest because of the rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, Panthers fans are coming out of the woodwork everywhere. Like,
man, it's half an hour away. They just drive straight down the M4, shoot in, done, see you later.
Yep. Pack the Toyota Camry with the missing door from Penrith and make your way up the M4, guys. And we'll see you there. Round 24, we're playing the Dragons, 2 p.m. Sunday Arvo. That's always a decent crowd, Dragons. The Dragons always seem to... Their fans are pretty loyal. I can't really say... Of all the clubs, I hate most Sydney clubs, but the Dragons, their fan base, I probably have the most respect for. That's not us. Would you guys agree with that? Who's your least favorite? Who's your least hated team? That's Rob. You go first.
Ooh, least hated team. That's a hard one. You probably won't like this, but South. Okay, but that's just a family thing. I threw it through a personal thing because, long story short, I wouldn't have been a Balmain supporter if it wasn't for South Sydney because of my dad's first ever game that he went to. So South, I've always had a soft spot for, but, you know, I can't stand Canberra from 1989. I hate Penrith now. I can't stand the Roosters because of their salary cap rorting. I used to hate Canterbury, but they've been a pack of duds lately. Cronulla's okay. Like, a lot of West Tigers have seen the guy on a Cronulla, so I kind of didn't mind Cronulla for a while until Paul Gallen kicked a field goal against us.
They had good-looking really jerseys, hurt. Too, when I was a kid.
Yeah. So they've always been a bit of a, you know, except for their peptide thing, they've always been a sort of, you know, clean skin club.
Yeah, Cronulla's a good one. I used to quite like Andrew Anninghausen. So had my mum. My mum had a massive crush on Andrew, like every other bloody woman in that era. But he was one of my favourites as a kid growing up. So yeah, Cronulla's on a bad shout.
I used to hate Saints, but I feel sorry for them now. Like, Saints were a hated team for a while, but yeah, just you go through your different stages.
Yeah.
So we had a bit of a rivalry with Saints there for a while.
Shane, who do you hate the least in the NRL?
I don't know. I hate them all the same.
That's a couple very I hate. Shane answer. I was expecting that.
There's a couple I hate more than others.
Yeah. Okay. Who's number one? Who's top? Parramatta's my number. Parramatta's probably overtaken South. It's always South for me, but Parramatta's just skyrocketed to the top for me. So who's your most
South
hated?
South to me is meh. It's I'd say either Para or Bulldogs. Are all Bulldogs. Yeah. Just can't stand Bulldogs. After all that shit that happened in like the late 90s, early 2000s, all that shit, I was just like, grubs. And that's all in my head, all I think is grubs.
It just also depends who your friends are too. Like, they're the ones that give you the most shit when you lose. So
I've got a lot of friends who go for the Roosters. I can't. I don't really hate the Roosters. I think it's just become a joke with the Roosters, though. They just always beat me. And I think they're actually sick of giving me shit about the title because it's just we literally never beat them, so that's kind of died. Yeah, that's probably the most. I don't know how, but I've got a lot of Roosters mates. But that's a good point.
My in-laws are Roosters, so I'm just like, whatever. We know you're good. Shut up.
It's weird. You seem to know a lot of Roosters fans, and yet they never have like their membership. And their crowds are always that little bit lower. But I'm just trying to find the Patreon questions, boys. So why don't we talk about the... Shane, our guy Zach Sini is doing a training trial at the Sharks. Are you sad to see him go? I know, Shane, you're not so sad about it. But do you think Sini deserved another crack?
I wanted to see him have another crack. Confidence was shot to absolute shit after that second game. But, look, the first game shows what he could do. I think just a lot of pressure piled on him and he just shit the bed, really. That's sort of all that happened. But, look, he was a good bloke. at least he's got another lifeline in footy, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully we get to see him play some good footy. We can buy him back for 10 times the price.
That's always the way. Righto. So Patreon, got the guys, in the Discord, as always, if you want to support the show and join us in the Discord, patreon.com/WestLifePod. So Vince, he's asked, do you think the club will have any intentions of signing a backup fullback this year? This question scares me a little bit because it's talking about if Dane Laurie gets injured, like again, bang on wood. Let me just knock on the wood here. I don't know, boys. Do you think we need a backup one? Rob, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we need one. Whether we get one or not is a different story, but we definitely need one. So there's really, you know, no one there at the moment that could fill in for round two if Dane Laurie got injured in round one. Adam Dwight, he's going to be out for half a season. And as me and Shane spoke before the show, he's probably going to find it tough coming off a knee reco playing fullback. You could switch a few players from wing or centre to try there, but there's really no one proven there at fullback except for Dewey, who won't be there. So, yeah, it is a dilemma. But, that's what Sheensy and Madge are there for, to solve all these problems.
Chan, what's the fullback from our Jersey Flegg side? He's a bit of a gun coming through, isn't he?
Yeah, Logan Dillon. A bit of a different-looking fella. Got a big mullet. But he was part of that undefeated Jersey Flegg side. Those young fellas have actually been recruited up to game with the boys in the preseason. And I think a couple of them are on development. So, look, we've got good crop coming through. I don't think he'd be ready for first grade, but I do think he has a development deal. So after, what is it, round 10? If there are issues, you can always put him in there, but we don't have anyone really that you would be confident filling in at fullback for Dane Laurie. If, as Rob said, he gets injured round one, who are you putting there round two? I can name like four or five people, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because as you were saying before, I'd name Dane Laurie one, two, and three. So it's just like,
yeah, it's
what do we do?
It'd be a plug in a hole with a square hole with a circle, whatever that saying is. It's you're a tradie, Shane.
Square peg in a round hole.
Square
mate.
Peg in the round hole. That's the one. Thanks, bro. Apologies if this episode's been a little bit sloppy, guys. But we haven't been at it for a few weeks. I'm in cricket, basketball, yeah, and American mode. Football. It is Christmas is coming. It's the off season, so we won't. We won't be doing regular shows for a bit, but we've got plenty. We're discussing a few exciting things for 2022. We want to start doing video. We've had a lot of people ask us to get our mugs on video for some reason. They obviously haven't seen what we look like, but
exactly.
People want to see our faces. So YouTube streaming and that sort of thing, we are looking into. We'll have to catch up soon, boys, and start planning for 2022. But if I don't talk to you until then, Justin's question. We'll end on this one because it's a bit of a joke question. He said, "I'm incredibly surprised at recent years, positive signings, and the club saying, or in the case of management, not saying the right things. With that in mind, how will our preseason be derailed, and which player will be arrested?" So thanks for that, Justin. Who will be arrested? Hopefully no one. Hopefully the off-season goes...
That's all right. Well, yeah, get him arrested now. Yeah,
get his contract voided and get him early. Yeah, why not?
But... Yeah, let him serve 12 months and then come to the Tigers.
He'll be nice and fit and angry.
Yeah.
So, boys, we'll have to catch up for a round of golf and a beer. soon. It's been too damn long, seeing as COVID kept us apart. But and we'll see you guys when, like I said, not on a regular basis, but if anything big happens with the club and there's plenty to talk about, we'll get back on and record a show. And so today, obviously, so much to talk about, so we thought, we'll do a quick half hour, and look at us, we've gone well over an hour. So boys, always good to chat with you. As always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.